Let's get into scripture. And we're going to look at, we're going to be in first, not first, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I hope that you'll be able to stay with me. I'm going to deliver what the Lord has laid on my heart. I believe this is the bottle. Well, amen. All right, Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 through verse 18. All right, let me start in verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which hath been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you. And them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou wilt fulfill it. In verse 18, the salutation, by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this loving church. I pray, Father, that you may continue now to work in our hearts, in our life, Lord, as we get into your word. Help me to communicate the truths that you have set in my heart, and for us, Lord, to be obedient to whatever it is that you may speak to us according to your will. We thank you and praise you now through Christ the Lord and Savior. Amen. All right. The title of this message here is The Photo Finish. In 1960, the men's 400-meter dash, there was a race between Otis Davis and Carl Kaufmann. The German was a defending champion. When they reached the finish line, it seemed as if the German had won the race. David Otis, the American, had been leading the race and was struggling to keep the lead. But right at the end, it seemed as if Carl Kaufmann had launched forward and won and beat Otis Davis. But it's not until they went to the camera and they printed out the photo of what had happened at the finish line, they realized that the torso, the leg of Otis Davis, was actually ahead of the head of Carl Kaufman and Otis Davis won the gold medal. Today we know this as a photo finish. You usually have that cameras go off now at the finish line because of this. And so we see here in this situation where if we were to get the ministry of the Apostle Paul and him to get a group photo of the people that have worked with him and have helped him, have labored with him, he has just given it to us right here. And so we see a few names written here. And oftentimes when we're reading the Word of God, we'll go through this and we'll just read the name and say, yeah, what do I get from this? You know, it's just like the genealogies and whatnot. But here we get to see something. The Apostle Paul is speaking about certain people of certain character which make up a church. And oftentimes people will say, you know what? I am not useful because of my background, because of I don't have the knowledge, because, well, maybe I had a bad moment at some time. But we'll look at these people and we'll see how the Lord is able to use anyone that is willing to give himself or herself for him to use. And so the first person we see here is Tychicus. The Apostle Paul in verse 7 refers to Tychicus. He says, the beloved brother and faithful minister. This is a man, and this is the guy, if you would like to put it that way, who accompanied the Apostle Paul in Macedonia. He also sent Tychicus to Ephesus to deliver word to Ephesus. And of course, we understand this is the, you know, you can call him Mr. Yes Man if you want to give him a nickname. Okay, this is the man that went out and said, whatever you need done, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And of course, every church needs men and women who are ready to work and to labor and to do what is needed to be done, wherever it is that is needed to be done. Tychicus was this beloved brother, fellow minister. He is one of them. And it says, and we see here, he adds in, Onesimus. Onesimus is, of course, as we read through Philemon, we understand that he was a fleeing slave. He is basically, you know, he is a thief. Okay, he had stolen from his master and took off and disappeared until he ran into Paul, repented, surrendered to Christ. And here we see his name. He had a sinful past, and God has picked him up, washed him off, and sanctified him, and is using him for the cause of his gospel. And so we see here that Onesimus is also added in this scripture. He's called a faithful and beloved brother. You know, and it doesn't matter what your past has been like or what it is that you've done. There are people that are being used of God that have done jail sentences. You know, we seem to tag people and name people and call them by their sin, but God will use a surrendered heart. He's all about the heart. God is about the heart. And so we have to understand that he's ready to use you. You know, people will say, well, I can't share the gospel because, you know, I've been in certain places. Well, guess what? It is not about you. It is not about the character that you once had. It is about the power of God, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see another one here, the fellow sympathizer, Aristarchus, in verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. You know, he's the kind of guy that you can call Mr. Dependable. I mean, we're going. You know, it says no soliciting. Yeah, but the people need to hear the gospel. Let's get in there. You know, I've been in places like that here in America, by the way, where it said no soliciting, but I didn't see that it said no soliciting. I needed to go in there and share the gospel and knock on some doors. Little did I know, somebody, they didn't tell me who, looked through the window and said, man, they're in here. I don't know what they're doing. You know, I'm calling the police.
Police showed up, I mean, just cruisers coming from this direction and that direction. We're talking about America, and it's not Africa, it's America, you know? And I'm looking at them going, what's wrong with you, man? You know, I'm oblivious. And guy jumps out and say, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Where are you going? I'm looking at him going, I'm knocking on doors, witnessing. Well, you can't do that. Yes, I can. No, you can't. You can't do it here. Let me see that. Let's lay that out. And lays my tracts, you know, for the camera to take video of and all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there going, what's going on, you know? Okay, whatever. Then the third cruiser pulls up, okay? Pulls up, comes in, lights on, everything. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on here, you know? He comes out, he's a sergeant, and he says, what's happening? What's going on here? Well, he says that he's from the Baptist Church down the road, and he's going in here. They're putting flyers on doors, inviting people to ride the bus and all that stuff. And he goes and says, oh, okay, I see that. Take that off of there. Give it back to him. He's not doing anything wrong. Let him go. Can I have a few of these? You see, these guys need some of that. That was the Lord's way of me evangelizing to that police precinct. I have no idea. But this is, you know, Aristarchus, Mr. Dependable. He'll go wherever needs to go. And so we ought not to fear when the Lord has sent us. We need folks like this in church, the do it type people. Let's go do it. You know, I don't know how it's gonna turn out, but let's just go. We ought not have fear. And then in verse 10 we have another one. Okay, and this is Marcus. Here's sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. You know, Marcus, if you've read in a book of Acts, Acts 15, you know, we get to see that Marcus was with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And, you know, they went out doing the work of missions and going to their missionary journeys. And there was, Paul just felt like Marcus was lazy. He just felt like Marcus was just dragging, you know, holding them down. And told Barnabas to say, you know what, I can't handle this anymore. You know, he needs to go back. I'm done. And of course, long story short, you read that, you find that Marcus is parts away and goes with Barnabas. But you know, when we look at Marcus in that situation, or Mark in that situation, we say, yeah, you know, this guy, you know, is more worried about what he wants than the gospel. You know, we don't need such people. Here he is again. The Apostle Paul is speaking of, is named Marcus here. We can call him Mr. Second Chance, you know? I mean, he's your second chance wonder. I mean, he writes the Gospel of Mark. I mean, God is able to dust him off, pick him up, point him in the right direction, and send him off. And we see the Lord continuing to use those that, again, are willing to be used of him. It's not about, you know, somebody said this to me, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. And, you know, it is true in the sense that we ought to strive to be used of God. You know, even after we have a bad spell in our life or a low time in our life, you never know. You're married. You obviously don't have control of your spouse. Anything can happen. But just because that happens, it doesn't mean that you are not able to be used of God in witness. And there are some things that you're no longer qualified for, but yes, you can still witness. You can still reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God can use you. So we see here the second chance wonder, which is
John Mark or Marcus. In verse 11, we see another one, Jesus or Justice. He is the one that is, I would say, he'd be the soother. You know, he was one that brought comfort. He is the one that lessens the pain. You know, you're going through a difficult time. You know, you just need someone to just lessen the pain, not to increase or turn up the temperature. You know, it's tough, and maybe folks are not coming to church, or your Sunday school doesn't look good, or bus riders are not coming, or maybe the giving just seems to not be going all that good, and you just need somebody to come and just lessen the pain, and not to try to fuel the fire, so to say. You know, our Christian life is a race. You know, we walk, but it is also a battle. We are fighting battles. There's people who are fighting depression. There's people who are fighting, you know, themselves, self-will, so to say. There's different things going on, and there's other people who are causing pain for others, and so on. Every church needs a soother, one who helps and says, you know what, keep going, you're doing a good job. You know, I know the police came after you, but you know, that means the devil doesn't like it. You're doing fantastic. And I'm like, yeah, man, give me another bag. I'm going out. This time I'm going to look for the sign that says no soliciting. No. Okay. So here we need people like that to encourage you along the way, to soothe you when the things don't go your way. And then here, verse 12 and 14, we see Epaphras. Epaphras, it says here, is one of you. Now, here's something about he does what? Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. We're talking about a prayer warrior. You know, we're talking about a fervent supporter of the work that is going on. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. Are you praying for missions, for the cause of missions, the cause of the gospel? Are you praying that there be more New Testament Baptist or Independent Baptist churches planted in a specific area? Do you have a burden to see people's lives changed? And if that is what you have, you are that fervent warrior, that fervent supporter of the spiritual welfare of the preachers, the pastors, and also the cause of the gospel. We need prayer warriors. We need prayer warriors. Say, I can't go. I can't go out there. I can't go knock on doors. I can't do this. And listen, pray. When you're out here right now in Zambia, they're about to go to bed, okay? And it's nighttime. Think about it. When you're having your evening service, and of course, you know, folks over on the other side are sleeping. They could use that prayer in being safe at night. And there could be missionaries traveling in the middle of the night, and you have they're just seeking for God's help just so they can get home. There's no rest areas. Okay, you just gotta keep going. You know, if you stop, you get robbed, and that kind of thing. So be in prayer always for the servants of the Lord and for the work of the gospel. And then we see another one here, that is Luke. Luke, we're familiar with Luke, of course. Luke, the beloved physician. He is someone, I mean, I don't know if much I can say about it. He's not an apostle, but yet the Lord uses him to write several scripture, including the book of Acts. And so we see here he has his profession in medicine, and he's responsible for writing 52 chapters in the New Testament. This is Luke. And you say, but I've never been to Bible college, and I don't hold a Bible degree. I just don't think God can use me. You know, what I know is to be whatever it is that you do. If you are a student of the Word,
if you are availing yourself to the studying of the word, which is provided right here in this church, in the New Testament Baptist Church, okay, the Lord will equip you with what it is you need to do the work concerning his gospel, okay? It seems like we've gotten caught up in this formal thing of, you know, you've got to have the you know, the classes marked off in order for God to begin to use you. You know, you got to have a music degree or something in order for you to stand up here and lead music. You know, God's just looking for the heart, just looking for, you might not even have the timing right, but you know what? If you're up here and God wants to use you, you get up here and God wants to use you and fill in when you're supposed to, that is if the pastor allows you to do that, okay? Let me not say, you know, get up here and stand. We were in a church once, you know, in Texas, and you know, Texas is wild, we can say Wild West if you want, but you know, we get up there and this man started leading a song and we're singing Because He Lives, and he's going, Because He Lives. And this is how he was doing it. You know, I don't know if he was shooting people or what was going on, but this is how it was. And I was just standing there going, man, I hope he doesn't have a real gun. You know, but it was really interesting. But the Lord is ready and willing to use a willing heart. We see here then also another guy that is we would not consider. I wouldn't want to put the guy on my team because of the way I just think. But it says, and Demas, okay? Demas is a deserter. Demas is, and he's not just a deserter, but Demas decided, you know what, forget this church stuff. I'm going back to the world. And he wasn't shy about it. Huh? He said, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm going back to my secular life, and I'm not interested in this anymore. I don't know for what reason. If there's not enough money, you know, my family, I have no idea. But he is a deserter. You know, in a moment when he was needed, he just decided to take off and go back into the world. But here he is. Paul is naming him in that group photo, if you like. And we see here he is someone that forsook the work of God, but he's been restored and brought back into the fold. And here he is helping the gospel go out. Is it like we're saying this morning? God is not about, you know, he's not about comforting quitters. The Lord wants you, yes, you quit, but he wants you to get back into the game, get back and start playing your part, get back into the church and do what it is that you're supposed to be doing, and he will empower you to do what you need to do for his glory. And that is exactly what here we see a fellow worker. Paul refers to him as my fellow worker, Demas. And then finally, we see Archippus. Archippus here in verse 17, he's referred to as a fellow soldier. A fellow soldier. I mean, this is the fighter. Paul refers to his ministry as the good fight, a fighter of the good fight of faith. I mean, he was all about what the Apostle Paul was all about, which was what was Jesus Christ all about. He said, whatever it is we need to do, let's go. Let's get it done. Whatever it takes, wherever we have to go. I mean, we're talking about it's another Mr. Dependable. I mean, we're talking about Mr. Dependable. I mean, this is a guy that just said, you know what? I'm sticking with you. I'm sticking with you, and I'm going to make sure that God receives the glory. We need some Archippus in churches. We need some Archippus on the mission fields. We need some Archippus in church plants across America. Who just saying, you know what, we need to get this done. We need to see this this through. And from all of this, we see the Apostle Paul, and he's not trying to just give a shout out, but we're seeing God show us through this that he is about using regular people. Yeah. It's just regular people. I'm sure preacher would talk to you and he would tell you, I mean, about his own life. But, you know, you look at us preachers and you think we're like some special creatures that came from somewhere that have never been anywhere except in front of a pulpit, you know? But that is far from the truth. When we're saved, I mean, we're picked out in the same place you are. And we're exposed to the same things that you're exposed to. We are just as regular as man comes. We are up here by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not our own power. We surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, use me. And the Lord is able to use us. And by his power, you know, he's able to work whatever it is that he's able to do through us. And so when you are faced with the call, or you are faced with the burden, or you're faced with the opportunity to serve God in your church, don't ever think, well, if God is calling you, this is what I didn't know. He has given you whatever it is you need. Amen. To be able. Amen. To serve him. And that is enough. It's enough for me to step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready. Whether you're saved and need to be baptized, I know you're having a baptism, but you ought to remember, you know what? After baptism doesn't mean that's it. There's still more to come. It's exciting. I know Brother Park Sutton kept saying, you know, people think if I surrender to ministry, it's boring. I'm telling you, my life has not been more exciting and just, I don't know if I could say wild, but, you know, serving the Lord. I've been in places, I've come across people that I never thought, I was just like, man. But that's God. Amen. That's how God works. Jesus Christ did his part. If we follow his example, he left heaven perfect. A perfect place to come down here to this wretched earth. And, you know, I often say stinky earth because the people in Africa, in Zambia, associate with that. There are stinky places that you don't want to go to. But he died for us and to give us salvation freely. Can't I give myself just to serve him across the road? Just to be a little bit uncomfortable, maybe at home, not have everything for his cause. Perhaps take a longer drive Sunday morning to pick up someone. Can't I be a little bit more patient with maybe a family member or a coworker or someone the Lord has put in my path for the sake of the gospel? He's ready to use you. You don't need a degree. You don't need all these things we keep thinking we need. The Word of God has given us a list of people that are just normal, regular people with different backgrounds, good, bad, ugly, pretty, whatever you want to say. And he's saying, I'm ready to use you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness.